recruiter's single greatest weapon. This session is going to be exclusively dedicated to what we believe is the greatest weapon in a recruiter's arsenal: asking the right questions. Without a doubt, effective questioning is one of the most important and relevant topics in professional recruiting, and probably one of the most difficult skills in many people's minds to master. In fact, we go beyond saying it's one of the toughest skills to master. We believe it is the most difficult skill to master after observing literally thousands of salespeople and recruiters in action. As hard as some people try, they continue to struggle with their questioning proficiency. Furthermore, the primary reason they don't develop their talents is because the knack for asking the right questions is counterintuitive. For example, it's likely you started your recruiting career thinking that selling is telling someone about your opportunities, manipulating the other person, making a pitch. No, it's asking the right questions. And the truth of the matter is, some people in this profession, including a number of managers, just don't get it. And yet, being able to ask the right questions is the single most important skill, other than listening, that you could ever master as a recruiter. The way it works is that there are basically two types of questions, and then subsets of each type that we're going to talk about in this lesson. The first set of questions are the ones you need to ask yourself before you ever get in front of the lead applicant or sometimes an influencer in what you know as the pre-call planning phase of the investigate step of the impact sales process. The second set is the line of questions you will employ when you're in the probe step. And truthfully, if you've done a good job of asking yourself questions in the investigate step, you'll find it much easier to ask precisely the right questions when you start the actual face-to-face interview, you see? The two are irretrievably connected with one another, just like spring is followed by summer and fall is followed by winter. Walking into an interview without having done any pre-call planning is like launching an airplane into battle without collecting any intelligence on the enemy. What happens is you're flying blind. You ask the wrong questions. You ask leading questions. You ask stupid questions. And if you're like some recruiters, you may not ask any questions at all anyway. So it doesn't make any difference. So you've got the investigate step or pre-call planning questions, and then you've got the questions you use when you were in front of someone in the probe step. Let's talk a little bit about the pre-calling planning questions first. What you need to ask and know at the beginning of the impact sales process are questions like this. What do I believe this person would find most beneficial about joining the Air National Guard? What do I think they would find least beneficial about joining the Air National Guard? What other options are out there for this person to consider? What questions is this person likely to ask me? If I'm visiting a school or an influencer in my recruiting zone, what are the formal and the informal structures of the organization? What kind of information or opportunities do I have to offer that they would be interested in hearing about? You need to be thinking about all of these issues as you prospect for new business. Now, listen carefully to the next part. You are still in the investigate step when you make contact with a lead or a lead makes contact with you. And in most of these cases, I'm talking about telephone contact. Here are some questions you want answers to before you ever get face to face with that person. What's the behavior style of this lead? Can I at least make an educated guess based on a phone conversation? Are they higher energy or lower energy sounding? You may recall that higher energy people are usually doers or talkers. Lower energy people are usually pacers and controllers. What prompted this person to agree to contact me or speak to me in the first place? What is their previous experience, if any, with the military? Would any of my other applicants or unit members know this person? Would any of my influencers know this lead? Is this person the true decision maker, or will someone else play a role in their decision to join the Air National Guard? Are they tentatively qualified to join the Air National Guard? Some recruiters have trouble asking qualifying questions over the phone, or else they jump right into qualifying questions before taking a few moments to establish some basic level of trust and rapport. That behavior may come across as cold and uncaring to the caller. Nevertheless, we all know that having an unqualified lead come to your office, or worse yet, you traveling to meet with an unqualified lead, is a waste or perhaps even an abuse of everyone's time and resources. Therefore, when someone contacts you asking for information, take a moment to answer some of their questions and get a feel for how serious they are about learning more about what the Air National Guard has to offer. Remember, your primary purpose on the phone call is to schedule an appointment. If the lead seems serious and willing to proceed, position your qualifying questions with a statement that goes something like this. Mike, I'm sure you realize the Air National Guard is an elite organization with high physical, educational, and moral standards for all its members, and I'll be happy to meet with you at a convenient time to discuss what the Air National Guard could do for you. However, I know your time is very valuable, so I'd like to ask you a couple of questions to ensure you're tentatively qualified to join the Air National Guard. This way, I can save you some time and make the process run smoother if you desire to proceed. Does that sound reasonable? Almost certainly, your lead will agree to answer those all-important preliminary qualifying questions. From there, you can set the specifics of the appointment time and location, as well as ask the person to bring the official documents they would need to formally qualify and process further. Those questions aren't very difficult, are they? And yet, when we watch recruiters prospecting on the phone or responding to incoming calls from leads, they don't bother to ask any questions, or ask very few, or worse yet, they go into a benefits dump of everything the Air National Guard has to offer. All of these investigate questions are questions you need to ask yourself, your leads, and your influencers before you ever meet face-to-face with these people. Unfortunately, the problem with too many recruiters is that they just presume these things. Then they get in and they stick their foot in their mouth, they say something unintelligent, or they don't even ask the right questions to begin with. And as a consequence, they come back and say that everybody who calls is just shopping. They're not serious about joining. Well, it's simply not the case. So what we're saying is that on the front end of the sale, during the investigate step, you are collecting data. And those are the types of questions that you are asking to make sure that there is potentially a good fit in the first place. We're going to change gears now and take a look at various types of questions and allow you to get a handle on how they are structured and what they can do for you. There are basically seven kinds of questions. The first type is one most recruiters should already know about. Number one, open-ended questions. We sometimes nick them essay questions because they can't be answered with a simple yes or no. You use them to gather information about emotions, thoughts, facts, and feelings. Here are some examples. How do you feel about the opportunity to serve your country as a member of the Air National Guard? What are your long-term plans for finishing college? What are the things you'd most like to change in your present lifestyle? What are you looking for that you haven't found in a job or career? What kind of process do you use to make this type of decision? An open-ended question is the most fundamental type of sales question there is. Number two, reflective questions. A reflective question will rephrase the applicant's previous statement into a question. You give them an opportunity to rethink, review, and restate. For example, so what you're telling me is that your primary interest in joining the Air National Guard stems from your need for money to pay for college, is that correct? What I understand you saying to me is that you'd like to work in a career field that allows you to work with your hands, is that correct? What I heard you say was that you'd like to be able to continue enjoying some of the same cost savings benefits you enjoyed while you were on active duty, is that correct? In other words, you just allowed them to rethink, review, revise, and restate what it is you thought you heard. This is a very advanced way of asking questions, and what it does, frankly, is it allows the lead or applicant to reframe their thoughts, and that's a very critical thing. Number three, directive questions. A directive question expands an idea or point and helps your lead or applicant focus on the issues that would help convince themselves to commit to joining. For example, can you tell me more about what you liked most about serving your country while you were on active duty? How would taking advantage of the Air National Guard's educational assistance programs help you to complete your degree? It sounds like they are open-ended questions, and they really are, but each example is a form of an open-ended question called a directive question. You're trying to direct them where? To where you would like this whole discussion to go, toward getting them to discuss a need they have or recognize a need they never really thought about before. So as you can see, it's a little bit more assertive, a little bit more aggressive than a pure open-ended question might be. Number four, the multiple choice questions. These can direct the prospects towards the next step in a sales process. For example, which day would be better for us to meet, Tuesday or Wednesday? Would you prefer to attend basic training in July or August? Now, this is not the either-or close. We don't recommend this type of method for closing a sale. This is simply a multiple-choice question that allows you to narrow a person's choices so you can correctly pinpoint your recommendations. The fifth type is the closed-ended question. Lots of recruiters think, well, you know, someone told me that closed-ended questions are bad. They're not bad. They're only bad if you use too many of them and use them incorrectly. A closed-ended question is a question that can only be answered with yes or no, or a single fact. Examples: is Thursday a good day for you to test? Are you happy with your current career field? Does this look like it will work for you? You see, those are yes or no questions, and there's always room for some of these. Why? Because you can now ask a reflective question on the tail of that closed-ended question, and that's magic. Listen to this. Are you happy with your current career field? Answer, yes. You can then ask, what is it that you especially like? You see, you don't want to use closed-ended questions too much because by themselves they sound flat, but there is some room for them. And if you're very careful about how you use these types of questions, and if you ask the appropriate follow-up questions. The sixth type of question is what we call a throwback question. Throwback questions answer a question with a question. This keeps you in control while making your leads and applicants defend their position. The leader applicant, for example, may ask, when would I have to attend basic training? Your response, when are you interested in attending basic training? Another one, is this the only career field that offers an enlistment bonus? Your response, how important is getting a bonus to your decision to join? Now, lest you think you sound like a salesperson from the 1940s or 50s, throwback questions are still effective. They are not manipulative. It's simply a very good strategy. So, go ahead and let's listen again. The leader applicant asks, do you think you could offer me a career field with a big enlistment bonus? You ask, how important is it for you to enlist in a bonus career field? When they respond, the leader applicant is giving you an answer you can do something with. It tells you something about their key areas of interest. Well, it's extremely important because I've got to pay off some major bills. Now, you see what happens? You find out why he or she asked the question. In many cases, you're going to find the person is going to ask you a question for a much different reason from what you presumed they asked the question for. So, now what happens is, you're getting more clarification. Words of warning, however, don't overuse throwback questions. Too many throwback questions in one interview can become annoying to the other person. The seventh form of questions is the feedback question, and it can be used to confirm a statement of fact or let you know if your recommendations are on target, beginning in the apply step. First, you can add a feedback question to the end of each statement of fact. This lets you nail down each point as you go along. Here are a couple of examples. You agreed that the money you could receive from the GI Bill would reduce the amount of college loans you would need, is that correct? You told me that while on active duty, you saved about $150 each month on your grocery bill by shopping at the commissary. As a member of the Air National Guard, having access to the commissary would help you keep saving that same money each month, wouldn't it? So what I'm doing here is I'm confirming that my declarative statement is where? On target, that it's correct. Another great place to use feedback questions is the apply step as you present your recommendations. Simply follow each recommendation with questions like, does this make sense to you? Does this look like it might work for you? Please note that we're not recommending recruiters use feedback questions to serve as old school or trial closes in the early steps of the impact process. These feedback questions are simply to confirm that your recommendations are on target before you move on to the convince and tie it up steps. Okay, let's take a look at the seven different types of questions again. Number one, open-ended questions. These are the questions to which someone cannot simply answer yes or no. The lead or applicant has to expand on their thoughts. Number two, reflective questions. What you're telling me is, in other words, you're reflecting back to the applicant that you understand what they're saying to be, in this particular case, is, in fact, correct. Number three, directive questions. You're trying to direct your lead or applicant to focus on a specific problem, interest, or need with questions related to a definite subject. Number four, multiple choice questions. Remember, not multiple choice or either or closes. Multiple choice questions are designed to narrow options for your recommendations. Number five, closed-ended questions. questions to which someone can answer yes or no, and there are some valid reasons for these questions, as long as you follow up your closed-ended questions with questions like, "Why do you say that?" or "Could you tell me some more?" Number 6. Throwback questions. That's simply answering a question with a question, but remember not to overuse these throwback questions. Number 7. Feedback questions. Feedback questions are designed to make sure that you're on target with your observations and recommendations. So, now you know about the different types of questions. Practice them at training meetings, role play with other recruiters, and master them so you can use them effectively with your leads and applicants. After all, questions are your single greatest weapon.